Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy, the chief investment strategist for ChartsAndMarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. We're in a Friday here where the season is changing and we're dull and gray, and there's been some rain. So, and also lately there's been little rain in the financial markets.
Yeah. Well, our first question of the day actually is asking, is this little shower going to turn into a typhoon? The question, hi, Jim and Bob. Many are saying that the markets are on the edge of a cliff, but short-term stocks seem oversold, the dollar overbought, and treasuries extremely oversold. Bob, is Mr. Market getting ready again for one last giant short squeeze before the markets do actually fall off the cliff?
Oh, yeah. I got sucked in a week or so ago, but I thought, oh, let's see now. The Russian invasion of Ukraine is not going well. They're running out of money. They're running out of armaments. They're running out of troops. So I thought that would be a positive realization of that. And then some parts of the stock market were oversold, and I thought that we get a good bounce, but it lasted for about one day. And then the report came in on the inflation number in the U.S., and it was higher than what, somehow, it was higher than what people expected. And that hit the markets, and that then showed that the financial markets really are fragile. And actually, I just last week I used the term that the participants were dancing at the edge of the cliff. And unfortunately, they are. So it's just one sick market after a huge, huge party. So, you'd think, well, then the other thing is just being a careful trader. It's very difficult to trade a counter-trend move. And in this case, a counter-trend move would be some kind of a rally. And this time of year, in this kind of a market, no thanks, not for my money. So we'll just watch and see how things unfold. But the unfolding is seeming a little weakness each day, and sometimes some dramatic weakness. So, but also last week we had my colleague had a buy on silver, and my gosh, it was up 5% the next day, and it's acting okay in here. But I think this is silver itself. I don't think it's suggesting anything. I just noticed the oversold in silver. So, anyways, the markets remain very precarious.
We also have a second question from our listener. How close are we to the bottom on gold?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. I think within a month or so, we've had a target of around October, just on the basis that oftentimes, if there's a liquidity crisis, it'll be discovered in October and maybe cleared in November. And this has been the problem with gold stocks, is that when the financial bubble was on, gold's real price goes down. So it's not good for the gold sector. So, and the gold stocks underperform in the final stages of a wild financial bubble. And then you got the problem of when the liquidity crisis hits the general stock markets, it pushes the golds down. So you've now got gold stocks down to very depressed levels, and the many participants are just absolutely whacked. You know, not no elbow room, no credibility, no leverage, no nothing. So it's the kind of conditions that you'd expect at a major bottom. So, checking the technicals yesterday, we don't see the buy yet. But I think when the buy comes in, and we have a couple of methods for that, we will be able to establish it as it happens. And, let's put it this way. Got an urge to put together some ideal gold stocks for when the buy comes in, but not yet making the buy. So we just have to be patient here for a while.
About a month, you said.
A month or two.
Yeah, that would be a nice list.
Yeah.
We'll have more with Bob Hoy right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Bob, our first headline of the day. U.S. banks lost a record $370 billion in deposits. Where did that money go?
Well, people are not putting in deposits because everything is tight. They're running up their credit card debits. So it's just a very tight system that you get, you know, as the business cycle completes. So two things, not putting deposits in and probably taking deposits out. And it's symptomatic of disappearing liquidity, which has been the feature once a great boom is over. So it was a good headline.
Headline, a bad year for crypto is a really bad year for crypto miners.
Oh, yeah. This one, I can't believe it. I've been in promotional Vancouver stocks for decades. And I know what the costs are. You know, maybe 50 years ago, it cost 25 cents to create a share. And then if you kept thrifty and office expenses and stuff like that, and raised the money and dedicated the money to drilling, and you had some good fortune, hey, it was great. But this crypto stuff, it costs huge in electricity to set up and start, as they say, mining them, which is a misnomer if there ever was one. And then it takes huge electricity to maintain them. And then when they're going down in price, it's still a huge cost of electricity and capacity and everything else to keep the whole system going. I think many of these things are just going to disappear. And I hope at some time, perhaps some geniuses can come up with a universal currency that is non-depreciating. You can't depreciate it, but I think what's going to happen on sound money is that one by one, countries are going to go back to a gold standard in order to discipline reckless central bankers. But in the meantime, it looks like the cryptos is heading to, dismal, dismal territory at some time out there.
Well, our friend of the show, Eric Haddock, who's an expert on cycles, says Bitcoin especially follows the S&P 500. So if you just follow the fortunes of the S&P, you know exactly what's going to happen to Bitcoin.
It's in lockstep. Yeah,
so it's an important thing for people to know if they got suckered, I should say, enticed into Bitcoin.
Yes. A little more on the Bitcoin is that the phenomenon, you know, in previous financial bubbles, maybe the big stock or a representative index would go up by a factor of 10 times in, say, a year and a half. And that was, of course, fantastic stuff. But within it, there'd be speculative items that would do even greater, but they were small cap things. But in this bubble, you had the crypto Bitcoin stuff, which ended up with huge market capitalization, making the biggest percent gains in history. So that then said that, hey, the real hyperinflation out there is in stocks. And then the other one, while we're talking about hyperinflation and financial assets, of course, was in Germany with the 10-year note getting down to almost minus 1% nominally and minus 8% in the history of the interest rates have never happened. So then that was bidding a 10-year note to infinity, and that then was also hyperinflation. So it is the greatest hyperinflation in financial assets in history, and it's been coming apart. And there's nothing anybody can do to fix it. And the feature of previous great financial bubbles is that when they're over, most asset prices fail and decline. And this is where, for the last 6 months, we've been trying to point out that the inflationists who got all excited about 1970s inflation coming back again are just plain wrong. So they have yet to be liquidated, and it's going to be fascinating to watch and see how the whole thing works out.
A friend of the show, Tim Wood, believes our inflation isn't so much a monetary inflation, but a supply chain inflation, because we've had shortages of so many things over the past 2.5 years. The auto market, especially in the U.S., used cars, it costs more to buy a used pickup than a brand new one.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the insanity there. So that was a major
cost. Central planners at their best, shutting everything down and then humping the money supply.
And then the chip shortage. You need a chip for everything these days. You can't even get a Christmas card that doesn't have a computer chip.
Central planning at its best or at its worst.
And of course, too, I think what you know, you're at the height of money mania when NFTs, people were paying fortunes for computerized pictures of rabid chimpanzees and so on, and hundreds of thousands of dollars for running shoes.
Absolute madness.
Right. You have nowhere to put your money. Mm-hmm. Maybe they should have put it into mining stocks, because all these millennials and Generation Zers in Canada, Zers in the U.S., they don't realize, you know, for that electric car, it's going to need something like 183 pounds of copper to be made. Your smartphone uses something like 43 or so different minerals, rare earths.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yeah,
those are things you're going to need that you want.
Oh, yeah.
But again, they don't realize you got to take these resources out of the ground at some point and process them. And,
well, the other day, Biden said that they were going to fund setting up of service stations across the country for electric cars to plug in. But with the slow rate of plugging in, I saw somewhere ago that each of these service stations, rather than being on the corner of a block, they're going to take up half a city block in order to service these damn fools' inefficient cars.
Well, why don't you just charge it at home overnight?
Oh, there's that, but also you got the range of these things, although they keep touting that it's further. And in some cases, I guess it is further, but no, the range of them, and the problem is that the battery system is very inefficient storage of energy. Gasoline in the tank, diesel in the tank is much better. It has much more energy in it per unit, whatever you want to do, either weight or volume. And that is what the market chose. I mean, in the early 1900s, in the prosperous areas of Manhattan, there was something like 10,000 Baker electric cars.
Yeah, but they only went like 2 or 3 miles.
Battery, but it was very popular because the grand homes and the ladies, you didn't have a crank starter for a gasoline engine. And at that moment in time, it was the efficient thing. It was the ideal thing for wealthy people to use. And then developments came along with the internal combustion engine and gasoline engines. And economically, the market chose to avoid battery cars and have been in internal combustion engines ever since.
Yes, the original range anxiety.
Yeah, not for this kid.
Well, in connection with that, Germany's power grid nears collapse as millions stock up on inefficient electric heaters because they're not going to be getting any natural gas from Russia this winter.
Yep, and we've seen that headline a while ago about people in Poland lining up overnight to buy coal for their home fireplaces. And then I stumbled on a chart a while ago showing in Germany the cost of firewood. And it had been in a trading range seasonal since, 2005. And then all of a sudden straight up, the kind of chart. So now what these ones are these small electric room heaters where you plug it into a wall and you sit close to it and it radiates out heat. And so can you imagine all of a sudden millions of households having these little things and plugging them in? So it can't handle it. So again, it comes back to major blunders by central planners who developed a personal hatred for fossil fuels and then pushed intermittent power from windmills and from solar, and without establishing in either of those two ways enough capacity to offset what they were shutting down of reliable power. And then, of course, you've always had the very sick superstition about nuclear-generated electricity. So they were shutting down those, and it's an example of central planners going mad, very emotional, very hysterical, and causing all kinds of problems. But by the time this coming winter's over, the most afflicted parts in Northern Europe will probably discover that ordinary folk have a lot of common sense, and they will then act against their superiors who are off on some sort of hysterical, emotional trip. I don't wish people discomfort, but I've been looking forward to the results from this to see political reform advancing and shutting down the authoritarian intrusion that's been going on for so long.
Maybe for the billionaire aunt in Switzerland, I'll send her a box of Hot Shots to help keep her warm there on a
little
cold Swiss night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
And our last headline of the day, world's hottest housing markets facing painful reset. Well, the two hottest real estate markets in the world were Australia and Canada.
Yep. And in Canada, it's been Vancouver, which we know about, and Toronto. And prices have been insane. In Vancouver here, in a pleasant neighborhood, a house that would cost, say, $1 million most anywhere is $3 million.
Or what you spend on lunch, Bob. Well, the thing is, during the pandemic, everybody decided they needed a bigger home because they couldn't stand working in a two-bedroom apartment with their mate. And so they wanted to expand and head out to the burbs in the countryside. But now all the corporations are saying, we want you back in the office, and you're facing a three-hour commute.
Back again. Yeah. Well, it's amazing out there. It never ceases to fascinate me and keeps one on their toes. But, Jim, one should understand that this has been the greatest insanity in political ambition in, well, since the 1500s. And it's also been the greatest financial insanity since that time as well. It's been more than 100 years where, as I've described them, as experiments in authoritarian government, and I've called them tyrannical centuries, because each lasted a little over 100 years, and the first one, which I've been able to document, has been the 3rd century in Rome, where the bureaucrats went crazy, taxation to the limit, and the rest of the funding came through currency depreciation, i.e. inflation. And it went on until it collapsed. And then you could call it a reformation, followed in shutting down huge centralized government and turning to regionalism and turning to individualism. And then the next one brewed up in the 1500s, and it ran for a little over 100 years, and same thing, absolute madness in politics and inflating, depreciating coinage like mad. And then finally it just blew out in the early 1600s. Best followed in England, and there was a mighty financial crash that began in 1618, and it essentially ended the 100-plus years of inflation that preceded it. So here we are now, this mania of politics You can say it started around 1900. The Federal Reserve started in 1914. And then the limit on, at least by a gold standard, was of the discipline of gold was eliminated by Nixon in 1971. And then you've ended up with yet another century of authoritarian government funded by chronic inflation. And but the irony, Jim, is that the final burst of inflation done by the state in order to finance its mania creates the equivalent mania in the financial markets, which becomes unstable and then crashes. So this financial contraction will actually end the ability of the state to fund itself. So very interesting times, and for me, I'm so fascinated to be able to put this in perspective. And as I said, this is looking like the early 1600s, where all of a sudden the whole thing reversed and started to deflate. So yeah, here's a term for it, Jim: financial deflation and deflation of political ambition. It's going to be interesting.
Yes, well, you said not until we get back to a gold standard will our currencies be worth much. Canada and the UK sold off all their gold. They melted down gold coins that were worth 10 times their face value, all those things. And the two countries stocking up on gold, Russia and China. Meanwhile, we don't even know if there's any gold at all in Fort Knox in the U.S.
Well,
we don't know. They haven't had an accounting there, an audit, since the early 1950s.
So it's
a whole house of cards. Yeah.
Run by scam artists, so. And the wheels are coming off. How's about that?
Well, then we just have to buy shares in wheel replacements.
Okay, I'm with you on that, Jim.
Bob, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Always enjoy our get-togethers, and we look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, he loves to answer them. You can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. You can find us on BitChute at Talk Digital Network. We're also on Twitter at HowStreet, and we're also on Facebook. We're everywhere, Bob.
Very good.
I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.